the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
John Cadell and Dee Reddy are with us, and we're going to talk about loads of things, including the Euro song the other night, Morrissey announcing Irish tour dates, the picks of the week, and lots of other things. But we're going to spend a bit of time talking about Kendrick Lamar's performance at halftime during Super Bowl. If you haven't heard it, just here's a little bit of it.
You really about to do it? 40 acres and a mule. This is bigger than the music. Yeah, they tried to rig the game, but you can't fake influence.
Get on it like that.
Hey, I'm tripping, I'm sliding, I'm riding through the deck like fuck. Bust that on a beat, bro. Beat, bro, in rap. He a freak, though. Man, damn, call like Ember Lambs. Tell him breathe. Now them boys cut across, they walk around like peas. What's up with these draconio? Trying to see Compton. In the street, can hate me. Pump them all in they mama. How many options really got? I mean, it's too many options. Been a crash on his body, I'm John Stockton. And hide the Bible if God watching. Sometimes you gotta pop out and show. Certified rookie man, I'm the one that up the score. Walking down a whole time, I know he got some hoe. That's Dutch, bully defro. Say Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You bet I ever go to cell block one. To any that talk torment and love, just make sure you hide your little sister from them. They tell me Chubb the only one to get your hand-me-downs. Party at the party playing with his nose down. Baka got a weird case, why is he around? Certified lover boy, certified. Wop, 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 wop. I'm on them tough. Wop, 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 wop. I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a, ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor.
Dee Reddy, what did you make of Kendrick Lamar at Super Bowl?
I thought it was class. One of the best halftime performances for years, I would say. It was really, really something. He had a number of very key guests with him. So he had Serena Williams at one point. He also had Samuel L. Jackson representing Uncle Sam, which was really, really interesting. And
which I said must have annoyed the President Donald Trump, who was there, given that Samuel L. Jackson has been one of his harshest online critics.
I would imagine it very much did, and he apparently left early. Like he was, and he was not impressed with the crowd.
The game was over at halftime.
Yeah, I suppose, but he was he didn't get a warm reaction from the crowd either. Although he was gloating about Taylor Swift being booed, but Donald Trump was roundly booed. And I as far as I'm aware, the boos were kind of downplayed on the live broadcast as well.
What did you make of it as a performance, John? Because you could say there was a political element to it. We'll get to the Drake thing in a moment. Mm. But just as a political statement, a lot of people were looking at it and saying that there was an intention there.
Now, I'm not sure what I missed, but I didn't understand most of it. I couldn't follow his flow. I couldn't make out a lot of the words
That's
he was rapping.
That's very honest of you.
Now, it's true. I mean, look, I know Kendrick Lamar is one of the most talented and lyrically astute rappers in the world. But I'm just thinking in terms of mass entertainment, okay? So the Super Bowl, you're playing to an audience who probably don't know your stuff. They don't know the nuances. They don't know why SZA is there. They don't know why Serena Williams is there. I just didn't, like, as a first-time watcher and somebody who knows of Kendrick Lamar, like, I didn't get it. And that's the truth.
That's fair enough. I mean, I think some of the stuff that you're referencing there would probably, make sense to an American audience more than an international audience.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, but I had to have the stuff explained to me afterwards as to what they were signifying.
But is that not part of the depth that he was trying to bring to it? I mean, as you say yourself, he's an award-winning lyricist. Like, he's won a Pulitzer. And I suspect that he went out swinging with the Drake stuff and then...
Which is petty at best.
Well, it's kind of funny. But then below the surface, he that actually allowed him to get much more political points.
Okay, what is the story with himself and Drake?
Well, I summed roughly in two sentences about 4 months ago. One rapper doesn't like another rapper, so he raps about how much he doesn't like him. Then the other rapper raps back, and the first rapper then raps again, and he wins wins a Grammy.
That's very good. That's a good really rap good. Of its own, John.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, that's it.
Well delivered.
We should put a beat under that.
It's playground stuff. Questlove, eminently a scholar of black history and black music, said that it's the death of hip-hop. It's two fellas basically saying, you're a pig, no, you're a pig, no, you're a pig, more. That's it.
More rap from John there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's about fellas slagging each other off.
But is Kendrick Lamar more on the right than that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Drake is not the nicest of individuals.
I don't bloody know.
I think Drake has safely lost that battle, to be honest, when you're suing your own record label as well as the person saying the stuff.
Apparently, Spotify numbers for Kendrick Lamar have soared.
Well, they would. Of course they would. I mean, like, as, you know, as a casual watch and a casual listen, it was good. Just everyone everywhere is talking about the political content and what each thing signified, and I just didn't get it. I mean, as a musical performance, I enjoyed it, but I felt stupid because I didn't know the underlying.
Do you not think though for was that I think that was the first time an incumbent president actually attended the Super Bowl for a start. So, like,
but would he have gotten all that?
But if he had not, that doesn't matter, because a lot of what Kendrick Lamar was doing was actually was for people who feel disenfranchised by the political situation in America, who feel scared for the political situation in America. And so to me, I read the kind of more political elements of the performance, like Samuel L. Jackson as Uncle Sam. I read that as being like, we're here as well.
Right.
You know, you're not alone in this.
Yeah, I mean, like Samuel L. Jackson, yeah, I could understand the role that he was playing. It was like, you know, that's what America wants, you know, nice and safe. He's sort of like very, very sort of like tongue-in-cheek sort of. I knew why he was there, but I didn't get a lot of the symbols.
And that's okay, but maybe it wasn't for you. Like,
but
that's
it should
my point.
Be. That's what I'm saying. As mass entertainment, I'm playing to an audience of people who don't normally, maybe wouldn't normally know your stuff.
Okay, listen, but effectively a lot of this, though, Kendrick Lamar has made very serious allegations against Drake about his behaviour, which he did sort of pull back in this performance. He hinted at them rather than stating it explicitly.
He said, Drake, yes. I know you like him young. I mean, come on.
But also, it does, like, the audience filled in the blanks there in terms of chanting along with him. I find it really interesting, actually, that that's allowed in a Super Bowl performance, but Janet Jackson's nipple isn't, you know? Like, that's interesting to me.
Listener says, I don't know what the hell Kendrick Lamar was saying because he was rapping way too fast, and as for Drake, it's just elevator music for the masses.
Well, I mean, each to their own. I couldn't make out a lot of the lyrics.
In other words, says rap battles have been around for years. 50 Cent versus Ja Rule, Tupac versus Biggie, Mobb Deep, etc. Kanye versus Jay-Z, Dr. Dre versus Eazy-E. It sells music.
Yeah, but like hip-hop.
It's also like part and parcel of the genre as well.
Hip-hop should, I mean, used to say a lot more about the world around us than like thumbing your nose at another rapper.
No, that's the point. He didn't just do that. He made a lot of political statements as well as thumbing his nose at another rapper.
But a lot of the political statements to me were veiled or not immediately apparent anyway. And I'm not thick.
Another listener says, tell John not to worry. A lot of old white Americans didn't get it either.
Yeah, like, you know, that has nothing to do with it.
There's loads of people supporting you, John. I'm with John on this point. I watched the halftime show and I didn't understand what was going on. Kendrick is a brilliant artist, but that performance was lost to me, much like the performance from the Chiefs.
Right, okay, yeah.
That was the team playing in the Super Bowl that lost.
But everywhere I've read and everyone I've spoken to are like misty-eyed at how brilliant it was, and I don't know what I've missed.
Okay, well, let's move on to something else contentious. We did deal with this in TV and streaming last night, but I think it is worth going back a little bit on what happened in Eurosong on the Late Late Show last Friday night. You're laughing, John. Why?
Because it's the Eurovision.
It's brilliant.
Actually, you know what? Let's hear a little bit. We heard last night the winning thing, Like a Party, by, who's it by? Emma, is that her name?
Emmy.
But let's hear a little bit of one that didn't win, the one that was criticised particularly by the judges. Samantha Mumba's My Way.
Grand song. Honestly, I think the best thing to come out of this for Samantha Mumba is the stuff that happened afterwards. To be honest, she came out I think on Monday which is yesterday. Jeez, and basically said that she felt that the judging panel didn't have the credentials essentially to be the judging panel or have the experience or the professionalism, and that she felt that they had been particularly rude and vile to all the finalists. She also said something else, using the aubergine emoji, but probably not safe for evening radio.
Jester says Samantha Mumba song was more like a Bond theme tune than a Eurovision entry.
Like, that's actually a fair summary to me. Yeah, the one that won is very Eurovision coded, really, isn't it?
Like, when you watch Dancing with the Stars or Dancing on Ice or Dancing Down the Shops, whatever, like, all of the judging panel are dancers. All of the judging panel, bar Bambi Thug on this thing, are celebs.
Donal Skean performed in Eurosong before he was a chef.
Yes, and as somebody very cruelly pointed out to him that the year he went to compete, I think he lost to Dustin the Turkey.
A guy did karaoke.
But brilliantly, somebody else posted online
But he's fried a few turkeys since.
Yeah, well, they posted a recipe that he had for a stuffed turkey, and they were like, watch out, Samantha Mumba. See what he does to people.
Samantha Mumba's going to be on the judging panel next year, isn't she? Well, that's what's going to happen.
Well, look, if it's...
She should be.
If it is a song contest, right? You've got Arthur, who is a dancer. You've got...
Dancing's a big part of the Eurovision.
It's not the Eurovision dance contest,
it's
Matt.
It's the Eurovision song contest. The presentation and the staging is essential to it.
But this is to choose the song.
Yeah.
And a lot of the staging and presentation does come in the kind of the time between...
Yeah, but you could visualise how you'd stage the song.
If you're explaining, you're losing. Lumumba has a point. She actually has a point. Donal is, like, known for whipping up a grand meal, not necessarily for his singing skills. I mean,
he did support JLS once.
Well, like, I did karaoke. Doesn't mean I'm a live performer, you know, so...
Ah, that's not true,
And John. Who was the other one? Laura Fox, a DJ. So that'd be like me.
That'd be like putting you on the Eurovision panel.
I'm not even a DJ.
Well, in fairness, I will say on that front, I mean, the original judges and stuff, they would have come from national broadcasters. So that isn't as far away as a former musician turned celebrity chef.
Well, I think if you compare it to Dancing with the Stars or Dancing on Ice,
with the staff,
it's...
I think you're right, though. I think she did have a point.
She does.
And I would imagine that being critiqued on your singing performance by people who don't do that professionally in such a public way would stick in anyone's
book. Okay,
throat.
Listener points out to me that the panel wasn't a judging panel because it didn't have a vote. They were a panel to give their opinion only. Fair enough.
I didn't
see it.
Okay.
But that would sway the watching public.
So Elaine Burke had a good idea last night. You know, and I think it was Donal Skeena pointed out, why is this on the Late Late Show?
Yeah.
It should be a separate show in itself.
It's been in the Late Show for 15 years.
I know, but there used to be a national song contest, yeah. You can call it Eurosong. I mean, and as she pointed out, you could probably stage it somewhere like a major venue and turn it into a big event that people would, my God, it could be more successful for RT than Toy Show the Musical.
That's true.
If you just did a Eurosong night, you could recoup the losses on that.
It was often kind of similar production staff way back in the day, because I know Adrian Cronin would have produced a number of the of our efforts in the Eurovision.
Okay. Will you be going to see Morrissey?
No, I might have maybe 20 years ago, but no, he's a bit huffing and puffing these days, isn't he? No, I wouldn't be bothered now. I wouldn't be bothered.
You say he's huffing or puffing? A lot of people, including some of his fans, he's been cancelled, hasn't he, because of some of his more extreme views.
I want to see Morrissey, but I want to see him 30 years ago, Morrissey. I want to see him 1988, Morrissey.
With Johnny Marr.
Not even, like, you know, because this isn't the Smiths. But if I wanted to see Morrissey, I'd get into the DeLorean and pop back about 38 years.
God, you know, he's 65 now.
Oh, he is, yeah.
He'd get a free bus pass next year.
Yeah. He would, if a double-decker bus lets Morrissey on free.
Let's hear a bit of Suede Head. Yeah, so the 31st of May, Saturday evening, it'll be his only show in Ireland this year. I didn't realise, 13 solo albums.
Yeah, he would have, yeah, sure. He's been solo since 88, hasn't he? I think Bone of Drag.
It's been a long time, yeah.
It was the first one, yeah. And he's been sitting on an album for 4 or 5 years that he recorded, I think, for Capital, and then they fell out. And now he says nobody will...
Not like him to fall out with someone.
Not like him.
But the Three Arena, the Three Arena is a big venue to move to when you consider that he played Vicar Street 2 years ago.
He played Vicar Street.
And he played the INEC the year before in Killarney.
Well, he may have played Vicar Street and the demand for tickets was so high that they are now and putting him in the Three Arena.
You can kind of scale up in the Three Arena, can't you?
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, let's get picks of the week. I'm going to start with you, John. Mm. Tell us about your pick of the week.
Well, I have picked... now, like everybody who listens to the show regularly will know that I'm a massive fan of Elton John. Well, he has released what's probably one of his best songs in the last 25 years. Certainly one of the best things he's done since the Songs from the West Coast album in 2001. But he has a duets album with Brandi Carlile on the way. It's called Who Believes in Angels. They recorded it in 20 days. There's accompanying videos to go along with it, was showing Elton losing his shit in the studio big time. So he's always like a diva for the tantrums. He throws a mean tantrum, does Elton. But anyway, the fact of the matter is they've recorded an album together with Bernie Taupin on lyrics for half the music. And this is the first taste of it. It's the title track and the lead single. It's called Who Believes in Angels. And lyrically, it's really strong.
Yeah, it's fast.
It's really strong. So I cannot wait for the album.
What's your pick of the week, Dee?
Yeah, my pick of the week is the long-awaited, in certain circles, debut album from an artist who comes from, lives in Waterford, I think, has Spanish, London and Cork roots. So a real mix, much like the mix of genres on the album itself. Her name is Big Pig. That's B-I-I-G-P-I-I-G. I'm really pointing that out for John.
Oh, no, we've been playing Big Pig on... Oh, the Evening Time Show. Paul has been playing her a lot.
Yeah. Good. And the track that we've chosen is 9 to 5, but we should probably say 9-5 because good luck finding it otherwise.
I don't want to jinx it and speak too soon, but I'm really in this. My life with you.
Yeah, or Sabrina Carpenter, I can hear in there as well. Yeah, loads of, to be honest, I hear loads of musical references when I'm listening to the album, but all of them good ones. So the album's called 11-11, and that track was 9 to 5.
Nice.
Okay. All right, I think we're probably running out of time. Rather than trying to talk about anything else and breaking through the time we've been given, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Dee Reddy and John Cadell.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.